Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Know this, that we're all on a journey and God's taken us somewhere. And what I like to say to people is, look, the only way you're really going to miss the will of God is if you're resistant to it. If you want to be in the will of God, if that's your desire, if you're saying, Lord, I really want to do your will, and you're honest and sincere about it, you know what? God will get you there. He will get you to where he wants you to be.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, in a message titled, The Perfect Will of God. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
I came on here as an intern pastor in 1980, and I interned here for a period of 3 years. And during that time, I just did whatever I was told to do, basically. You know, I was told to oversee the correspondence ministry. I was told to help out a little bit with the home fellowship ministry. I was given an opportunity at a certain point to minister to the youth. And, you know, just one thing after another over that three-year period, you know, things just, you know, kept coming my way. And I was getting more and more experience. And at the toward the end of that three-year period, again, there were all kinds of other circumstances going on, but I began to develop a restlessness inside. And I began to sense that there was some change that needed to take place. I didn't really even know what it was. And about that same time, an opportunity came for me to go down and fill in for a pastor who was pastoring a small church down in Vista, just in North San Diego, California. And the interesting thing was, I had a few years earlier, 2 years earlier, I had gone down on one occasion and filled in for that pastor. He was out of town for a weekend. I filled in for him on one occasion, and that was it. I never had any conversation with him after that. And a couple years later, now he contacts Pastor Chuck again, says, hey, you know that young guy that you sent down? Is he available? Could he come down and fill in for me? I'm going on vacation. Chuck told me, hey, you know, would you like to go down and do that? And quite honestly, at that point, because of other circumstances, I wasn't all that thrilled about it, but I just thought, okay, I guess I'll do it. So I went down, and for 3 weeks, I filled in for this pastor who was on vacation, had a wonderful time, met the congregation, and, you know, it was nice. It was an older congregation. I was young. I was 25, I think, at the time. And so, you know, it was a good, sweet 3 weeks, a nice experience. Good place to visit. Never want to live there or anything, but it was enjoyable, and I think it was, you know, it was a good experience. So, I get home, Sunday evening, we drive back after going down for three consecutive weeks. Monday morning, my phone rings. 7 o'clock in the morning, it's the pastor. How you doing? Oh, doing great. You're back from vacation. Yeah, yeah. Was it good? Yeah, yeah, I had a great time. Okay, so what's on your mind? Well, you know, I resigned from the church today, and I think you ought to come down and be the pastor. That's exactly what he said to me. And I said, I don't think so. That wasn't even in my thinking process. That idea never crossed my mind. And, you know, so I just thought, that is ridiculous. That is crazy. No, I'm not going to do that. So I went to Pastor Chuck and I told him. And he thought it was even more absurd than I did. We had two of his grandchildren. He wasn't wanting to see them move away at all. So he said, no, that's ridiculous. That's not, no. And I agreed. Amen. I agree. That's ridiculous. I'm not doing that. And yet, you know, the crazy thing is, you know, some other circumstances developed and things happened. And, you know, there came a point where, you know, I just said to Chuck one day, I said, you know, maybe I should just go down and give it a try. I said, you know, I just can't get those people out of my mind. And the thought of them, you know, they need a pastor. Maybe I just need to go down and try it out. So I said, do you mind if I just, you know, maybe just go down for a few weeks and kind of just test the water? And he said, okay, that'd be fine. So, you know, anyway, I went down and started visiting with the people and sharing with them a little bit. And more and more, I just began to sense this was what God was calling me to do. He was giving me a heart for the people. I didn't want to move to that place. I didn't like it. I said, oh, no, I don't want to live here. And, you know, I had all these things that were negatives. But the overriding thing was, you know, I just felt like the Lord wants me to come and minister to these people. So we did. We eventually did. And we packed up and we moved there. And we pastored that church for 13 years. And in the course of those 13 years, God blessed abundantly and the ministry grew. And the church was led supernaturally really into missions. And that's a whole nother story that I could spend a lot of time on, but I won't. But, you know, so God leads us into missions and all of this. And we're doing missions for a good solid 5 years. We're, you know, over in Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union, and we're in all these places doing these different things. We're planting churches, and everything's exciting, and the church at home is growing, and it's stable, and the missions vision is increasing, and we're sending out people to plant churches. And it's a wonderful experience. Great, great time. Our kids, we had two more kids that were born there. You know, our oldest kids have pretty much grown up there from the time they were, our oldest daughter was two, and our oldest son was just born when we moved down. So, you know, this was our life. And then, and I don't have time to go into all the details, but then I began to get this sense like the Lord was calling me to leave and to go do something fresh and new. And I began to struggle. Wait, no, this can't be happening. No, you don't do this. This is not the way it's done. We're here. We've been here 13 years. We're established here. We've got an established ministry. I just need to stay here because, you know, in my mind, it's like, Lord, I could do more for those mission places from right where I'm at than by going there. And I wrestled for the longest time with God about this thing. And at this point, the Lord had put on my heart, just like we'd done in Budapest and Moscow and different places, the Lord put on my heart, I want you to plant a church in London. And I was happy to do that because in my mind, it wasn't like I was going to move to London. I was going to do just exactly what we'd done in other places. We're going to go in. We're going to take a team. We're going to evangelize on the streets. We're going to get a handful of people. We're going to send somebody there. It's going to disciple them, and it's going to grow into a church. That's what we'd been doing for years. That's what we were going to do in London. But the more I prayed about it, it just seemed like there wasn't anybody to do it.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
And I was asking all kinds of people to do it. Hey, you want to go to London and plant a church? I'll send you there. I got a great plan for your life. I got a great vision. I was, seriously. I had a list of pastors that would be great pastors in London. And I was doing my best to convince people that they ought to go to London and, hey, we'll finance the thing. Would you go? And so we're going to do the outreach. We're going to do the church plant. It's just a matter of finding out who's going to be the pastor. And one night, I'm desperate because the outreach is just, it's coming up real quick. And I'm desperate. There's no pastor. So one night, I'm literally on my face. I'm crying out to God, Lord, who is the person? And I'm praying. I'm literally praying for this person. Lord, this person. And God, raise him up. And, you know, and in the midst of this prayer, all of a sudden, I got this really frightening sense. I am praying for myself. Oh, God forbid. No, I am not praying for myself. No, that's not part of the deal. I'm not going. That was where I was at. That was my mentality. And so I went to England to do a 6-week outreach and church plant with that in the back of my head, but still looking for a way out. I'm going to find somebody to pastor this church. I am not the one to do it. And you know, but during the time that I was there, I couldn't sleep at night. I would wake up at 4 a.m. and I just toss and turn in the bed, and I would think through and pray about, and every single person that I thought of, it just, at some point, it just like, no, that's not the right, that's not, and it kept coming back around to me. And so one morning I woke up about 4 and I noticed that Cheryl was out of the bed. And so I went down the stairs and there into the little kitchen area, and she was sitting there. And I came down and she said, oh, how come you're awake? I said, oh, I can't sleep. I haven't been able to sleep all week. And she said, why, what's going on? And I was, you know, really hesitant to tell her. And so I paused and she looked at me and she said, the Lord's calling us here, isn't he? And I was like, he is. I really think he is. And so, you know, when she said that, it was to me, that was a confirmation that, you know, this really was God. Because I hadn't told her up until this point what was going on. I was keeping this all to myself. So, all of that to say this. We made the decision at that point that we would put a fleece before the Lord. We'd go back to California and we would apply for visas. And if we got the visas, that would be the sign from the Lord that we were to go. So we came back, we applied, we got the visas. There were all kinds of rumors spread through our church that we were leaving, and all kinds of really interesting things happened at that point. Good things. But the hardest thing I ever did up until that point was leave that church. And I remember the last day, the last Sunday at Calvary Chapel Vista, from 7 o'clock in the morning till 4 p.m, hugging people and crying. It was the most draining day of my life. It was brutal because we loved these people and they loved us. And it was this heart-wrenching, oh, I can't believe that this is happening kind of a thing, you know? But I knew that I knew at that point that this is what God was calling me to. I had prayed about this for 2 years. The church plant and all of that, and then more recently about myself. But I just knew that this, okay, this is it. But you know, even the day that we boarded the plane to go, there we were in the airport, and I'll never forget, everybody's crying. You know, it's just a big cry fest. And Chuck's crying, and Kay's crying, and we're all crying, and my family's crying, and my daughter Kelsey's crying. And she says to Grandpa, she says, Grandpa, don't cry. It's the will of God. And then she said this. This was the classic line. Grandpa, why is it the will of God? That was the question. Why is it the will of God? So we went. We went to London, we planted the church, and we initially were going to go for just 2 years. It ended up, you know, after 2 years, we realized, no, we can't leave. It's just not time. And so, so we're there, and, you know, we do the 2 years, and no, it's not time. We've got to stay. So we stayed a third year, and then, and I have to say that I was as happy as a clam. I loved living in London. I loved planting that church. I loved pastoring that church. I had a vision for that whole country. And, you know, it was a great, great time. Cheryl struggled for the first couple of years. But there came a point where she embraced it and just said, you know, yeah, this is God's call. And so there we were just moving along in the will of God. We were excited. The church was growing. Great things were happening. And then one night, I just had this strange experience where for the first time ever, I suddenly had this doubt or this sense of something's not right. And I felt that the Lord had spoken to me right then and said, Brian, you have accomplished what I called you here to do. It's time for you to go back. And I was just not wanting to hear that. No, Lord, that's not it. Seriously, I mean, to me, that was not the message I wanted to hear. And so, you know, a few weeks passed, and that was kind of in the back of my head. And so I was talking on the phone with my, still today, one of my dearest friends, and I was in the south of England in London. He was up in the north of England in York. And we kind of felt like we were at the two ends of the country and, you know, kind of partnered in the ministry. And I told him about this moment of insanity where I thought I needed to leave. And I fully expected him to say, oh, no, Brian, that can never happen. No, you can't do that. And, you know, and he said to me, much to my surprise, he said, I think it's the Lord. I think you need to go. I said, what? No, I don't. That can't be. We're just getting started. And he said, I know, but look, there's a bigger picture, and I think you need to go for the bigger picture. And so with that, I went into the room that night. I woke up Cheryl. I said, honey, I got something to tell you. And she popped up out of bed, and she said, we're going back, aren't we? I said, why do I bother telling you things? You know everything already. And I said, yeah, I think the Lord wants us to go back. So we made the decision. We made the decision to come back. And when I had to stand in front of that church and tell them that we were going to leave, that was the hardest thing I ever did. Leaving Vista was hard. Leaving London was harder. Strangely enough, I was in Vista for 13 years. So much of our life was invested there. But the difference was in Vista, I felt like we had finished the work. I felt like we did what God called us to do there. In London, I felt like, wait, we're just getting started. And the way I looked at it was, I felt like the Lord, I said, Lord, it's like we just had a baby and you're asking me to let somebody else raise it. I don't want to let somebody else raise this baby. I want to raise it. And yet I sense from the Lord that you need to go. So I sent Cheryl and the family home. They came back, and I stayed for another few months to tie up loose ends and all. And during that other few months, she was back here. I was there wrapping things up. I was still wrestling with this decision. And this is the point. All of this is to get to this point. I was still wrestling with this decision. And I got to the point where I was obsessing over it. Am I making the right decision? Is this a mistake? Am I doing the right thing? What if I'm doing the wrong thing? What if I shouldn't go? And I got to the point where literally I felt like, okay, all of a sudden one night it hit me. I'm gonna have a nervous breakdown. I'm gonna drive myself crazy trying to figure this out. And suddenly this came to me. And this is what I want to share about the whole thing of the will of God. This suddenly came to me. Okay, I am trying my best to do what I think God wants me to do. If I'm wrong, God knows that my motive is right. So if I'm wrong, if I'm making a mistake, if I get to California and I realize this was not the right thing to do, I will get on a plane and I will come back. And that solved it for me. That was the end of the wrestle. Because I just thought, and this is what I was saying earlier about the character of God and the heart of God, realizing God's our Father. God loves us. He wants us to be in His will. He's working to get us into His will. And if we make a mistake, but sincerely want to do the right thing, guess what? He's just going to pick you up, turn you around, and go, nope, this is it. This is where we're going. And there's a point where we have to just simply trust him for that. But I shared that journey with you because in these particular things that I've shared with you, these are sort of milestones in my own life and ministry where I look back and I see these were transitions further and further into the ultimate will of God for my life. And, you know, getting into the will of God, it's a process that's kind of going on and on throughout our whole lives. We sort of land at a place where it's like, okay, for example, my situation. Okay, I landed at God's called me to pastor. Okay, I know that's God's will. But then there's all kinds of other details that are involved in that develop and unfold through a process of time. So know this, that we're all on a journey and God's taken us somewhere. And what I like to say to people is, look, the only way you're really going to miss the will of God is if you're resistant to it. If you want to be in the will of God, if that's your desire, if you're saying, Lord, I really want to do your will, and you're honest and sincere about it, you know what? God will get you there. He will get you to where he wants you to be. And he'll remind you of his love and of his goodness and of his faithfulness. And he'll tell you, look, even if you'd make a mistake, don't worry. I'll take care of you. I'll get you to that place. So God has a will for you personally. And as you surrender yourself to him, as you let him transform you by the renewing of your mind in his word, as you have those inclinations and those enablings and those opportunities come, look for those confirmations, but remember that there will be the necessity of faith. And, you know, there comes a point where you just have to take the step. So there I was. I rested in that. If I'm making a mistake, I'll just turn around and come back. But you know, the funny thing was I went to the airport that day to leave London. My friend Alwyn took me. It was a really depressing ride. And we said our goodbyes. And you know, I got on that plane and it was the most miserable ride imaginable. Still wrestling in my heart. What am I doing? Am I crazy? I got home, landed in LA. It was in the evening. Got in, went to bed, woke up the next morning, drove to right here, to the parking lot. Opened the door of the car, stepped out of the car, and the Lord said, this is where I want you. And I was like, wow, I wish you would have told me that 2 months ago. I would have had such an easier time. So you got to trust the Lord.
Here's a few words from Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl about this month's Back to Basics resource.
We had Christopher Ewan and his mother and father here at Calvary Chapel on this Sunday morning. It was so well received.
It was amazing. Christopher Ewan is a professor of Bible at Moody Bible Institute, and yet his story of coming to Christ is absolutely amazing.
And what's the name of his book?
The name of the book is Out of a Far Country, and it is subtitled A Gay Son's Journey to God, A Broken Mother's Search for Hope. And it's really the story of this family who are essentially atheist, but eventually they all come to faith in Jesus. And it is riveting. It is such a powerful, powerful story. And especially if you have friends, family members, or you're in contact with people and, you know, struggling with or questions about the homosexual lifestyle and all of that, this is a superb book written from somebody who is on the inside of the whole gay movement and yet has now come to know Christ in a powerful way. So highly recommend that you pick up Out of a Far Country.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order the book, Out of a Far Country, A Gay Son's Journey to God and A Broken Mother's Search for Hope, by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of the book, Out of a Far Country, and then click on the Donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book by Christopher and Angela Ewan. We appreciate your generous support to this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.